SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, Sounding the Alarm on June 22nd, 2012. I have a very important broadcast today. We're going to be talking about a topic, what Jesus Christ is personally doing in the earth today, in the church world, throughout all the world, where both secular and spiritual are called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is kind, He's patient, but the time comes when enough is enough, when the Lord deals with people that refuse to repent and refuse the truth. And God's dealing with religious people, just like He did 2,000 years ago and like He has throughout history. On the line I have Bruce Hallman, a ministry of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, prophetic gift. He has a website, fmh-child.org, and he deals with specific false teachers that have made merchandise of God's people, that have mishandled the Word of God, preaching for filthy lucre and other things. And we're praying that the fear of God come upon all those that would mention the name of Jesus. Hello, Bruce. Are you there?
Amen, brother.
You know, Bruce, you just contacted me just a couple of days ago. We actually just had our first conversation just within the last few minutes. But we both have the same passion for the truth, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially His sheep. And we know that the Lord said that there would be wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's why we want to herald and proclaim the truth today for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, that they would understand what's going on and the jeopardy of listening to people that are deceivers. Go ahead and share how the Lord brought this ministry to you.
Well, talking about the wolves in sheep clothing, you know, the way this started out, I was brought up in a Methodist church. And I really had no saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just a formal religion, but not a relationship. And it was in 1984 when the Lord finally got my attention. And it got to the point where, you know, I was either going to end my life or I was going to give it to Him. So thank God I chose the latter. And from that point on, you know, the Lord instructed me to... The Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, he was to be my mentor, my earthly mentor in Christ. And at that time, he was teaching very scripturally the moving of the Holy Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He really had sound teachings at that time. And so the Lord told me to learn from him, to study his teachings. And that I did. And, I developed that relationship with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as time went on, of course, Jimmy Swaggart, you know, made the horrible error of getting, you know, the prostitutes. And he fell with the prostitutes. And then I told the Lord, I said, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not going to follow a man like this. And the Lord said, no, you're going to stick with him. And so I was supporting him with my offerings and reading his materials. And as time went on, of course, he fell with the second prostitute. He got caught, let's put it that way, with the second prostitute. But the Lord kept dealing with me. You stay with him. And it was years later, and in fact it was in 2001, the end of 2001, that the Lord gave me my first, we call them sermonettes, but it's a letter of correction to write about Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. But it had nothing to do with Jimmy Swaggart. The target was not aimed at Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
It was aimed at five of the people who were in his administration, five of the people who were associated with his ministries. And one of them was the Bible College president. Another one was one of the evangelists that attended there regularly. It was five people. And the title of the sermon was Jimmy Swaggart and the Accursed. And it had to do with the sin of Ai, the Battle of Ai, where, you know, the nation of Israel lost the battle because of one man's sin.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with ministries. If we have, you know, if we have one member of the ministry that has sin in the camp, you know, we're headed for a fall. The ministry is out of order. So the first sermon had addressed five people within the ministry. And from that point on, then the Lord started putting the sights on Jimmy Swaggart. Now, this was extremely hard for me because I had been told by God to follow the teachings of Jimmy Swaggart. You know, he was not to be God, but I was to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, of course, that meant that I was to use my spiritual sensitivity. You know, the things that are right, receive them. The things that are wrong, reject them. So he was a man of God who fell into sin, and because of it, you know, his teachings took on error. And so I personally had to experience, because God directed me to do this, to be under a preacher who was doing right until he fell into sin, and then he started preaching, you know, wrong scripture. And now he's really in a mess. I mean, his ministry is just totally in apostasy, and he's written a Bible that, you know, just totally discredits the holiness of God. And so, you know, for so many years I followed after him, but now I've, you know, have personally stood before him and given him correction, and because he didn't receive it, I have to continue to give correction through letters and publish it on the internet. So you know man is only good as long as he's following you know, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And once man starts taking on the supremacy and tries to be God himself, you know, that's where, you know, we have to draw the line. So, you know, that's my experience with a pastor who started out right but got into error, and he has continued in error. So, you know, it's a hard thing to call attention to someone who's been your leader for so long. But, hey, this is what God's called us to do.
That should bring the fear of God upon all people, because, you know, we have to walk with Jesus daily. If any man come unto me, let him pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. And Paul said, I die daily. Even Jesus said he could do nothing of his own self. And as he heard, he would judge. And his judgment was just because he sought not his own will. But when we seek our own will, when we pursue things of the world, like you say, it leads us astray. We even forget the things that we've known and have been worked into us. And the Lord can even take it away. So we need to love the Lord. And he's the true vine. We're branches. We can do nothing without him. And you're now seeing someone that once knew the Lord. They're broken off, and their fruit is corrupt. And to the point, Bruce, you're saying that there's actually false teaching, which Jesus likened to false. He said, beware of the Pharisees. Their teaching was had leaven. And we see immorality is leaven, and hypocrisy is leaven, and it ruins.
Yes, see, when Jimmy Swaggart fell, I don't know how much understanding he truly had, but, you know, he said that he cried out to God and asked God how it could happen. How could it happen to someone like him? And the Lord started giving him the message of the cross. Now, what happened, though, Jimmy didn't take that message of the cross with spiritual understanding. He took it and he massaged it in a way that fit his own needs. And now he's preaching a message of the cross that is totally, you know, another Jesus, another cross. It's anything but the true gospel.
What did he teach before that, Bruce?
Huh?
What was his message before the fall?
Well, you know, his strong teaching was on the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
You know, the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. That was what really brought him to stardom as the number one evangelist of the world.
Isn't the Bible say that pride comes before the fall?
It sure does.
And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
It sure will. But see, what Jimmy Swaggart did was he put his ministry and a lot of other things ahead of God. You know, his ministry had to, before he fell with the prostitutes, before he got caught, he was warned by quite a few prophets that he needed to take some time off. One of the big prophets that did it was David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson went to him and said, you know, God has told me to tell you to shut this thing down. Shut down your ministry. Get away for a while. Get along with God so you can hear him and you got some problems that he wants to work out.
Mm.
But Jimmy Swaggart wanted to build his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So he neglected God's word, God's calling, God's light, God's illumination. He disobeyed God, and of course, you know, these are the consequences. He fell into sin, and what a mess it made.
It reminds me of King Saul that rationalized his disobedience, and God, you know, he was rebuked by the prophet Samuel, that God was looking for obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. God's not interested in us manufacturing something in our rebellion. It's useless. So God's not looking for us to make skyscraper ministries to exalt ourselves, and only the Lord is to be exalted. And I think that's fatal. Wow. Go on, Bruce.
Amen. And it was truly fatal. And see, that's where his own teachings just, you know, took a nosedive. Because how can you preach, you know, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, when you're in disobedience to the Spirit of the Lord as he's tried to lead you? And so once again, his teachings just became more and more perverted, and he has invented this new cross where all you have to do is look to Jesus. It's no longer take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's just look to the cross. Look to it. It's like an idol. It's like a crucifix hanging on the wall with Jesus on the cross. You look to it. You look to what Jesus did for you. But, you know, we have to carry it on further. He did it for us so that we can do it. We have to take up our cross and follow him.
That's right. You know, that reminds me of Moses lifted up the serpent on a brazen pole at the direction of the Lord. It was foreshadowing the coming of Jesus dying for our sins, for our healing, complete healing. And then the people started worshiping the brazen pole for many, many, many years. Finally, someone came along and ground it to powder. Same thing sounds like you're discussing. When you're focusing on the instrument of death, where the sins were removed through the body of Jesus, through his blood, but focusing on a cross, it becomes an idol.
It's certainly an easy way out. You know, this road to being renewed in Christ is a hard road to walk. And, you know, taking up your cross daily and dying to your sin nature, you know, is not what most people want to do. You know, we'd rather take the easy route out. And, of course, Jimmy Swaggart did the same thing. Instead of taking up his cross and just shutting down the ministry, that million-dollar ministry, instead of shutting it down and just getting along with God and doing what God, hearing what God wants, and so you could obey it and do what God wants, you know, he refused to do it. And, of course, the illumination left him, and the darkness came, and corruption is his middle name now.
You know, one of the things that I noticed in the scripture, it talks about how we're supposed to be submitted one to another in the body of Christ. And we should be very careful, you know, even if a child comes unto us and speaks, the Lord may send a child. We need to be receiving that one as if it was from the Lord. Because he that receives a child that comes in his name is receiving the Lord. So what I want you to comment about is the refusal to receive the body of Christ when they come to you with the word of the Lord. What is that? What is entailed in all that?
Well, you know, even Balaam's ass spoke to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if a donkey talks to you. But the Lord had me to pay a visit to Jimmy after I had written the first message. Of course, I had to deliver it to him by hand, and you know, I was with much. Shaking knees knocking. I took a trip from El Paso to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and spent the night in a Motel 6. And to be honest with you, I was ready to turn tail and run. But the Lord let me know, you know, with all sincerity that I had to do this. You know, this was my calling. This was the word of God for my life. if I didn't do it, he gave me Jeremiah, the first chapter, and he said that, you know, if I didn't obey him and crucify the flesh that wanted to run from the disappointment, that he would basically break me to pieces in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing he told Jeremiah when Jeremiah made up all kind of excuses of why he couldn't speak the word of God. So, you know, the calling that God has for our life, the instructions that he gives us for our life, you know, we must do, because that's what's going to crucify the flesh and make us new creatures in Christ. So anyway, I got the warning. You know, I understood what God was telling me, and I certainly didn't want to go that route. So, you know, I forced myself to do what he told me to do. And the next morning, the Lord gave me direction about how to meet up with them, the Swigerts, in order to speak to them face to face. And step by step, he gave me the instructions. But, you know, God's word is light. His spirit is light. And as we obey the word that he gives us, it becomes a part of us. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Our flesh becomes renewed in Christ. It dies to the sinful ways and becomes spiritual. But it only comes about through obedience. And it's a hard obedience. It's obedience that, you know, the flesh is going to rebel against. But if we don't do it, you know, we're going to take on leaven. You know, there's going to be a part of us that hadn't been crucified with Christ, that evil sin nature, and it's sooner or later, Satan's going to use it to take us down. So the choice is, you know, is real. Either we're going to obey God to the fullest, you know, whether it's a child giving us a word, whether it's a donkey speaking to it,
mm-hmm.
however God chooses to speak his word to us, whether it's one-on-one or through somebody else, we better listen. We better try the spirits, make sure it's him, and then, you know, do whatever he tells us to do, that he might get the glory, and that this body that he's given us will truly become the temple of God.
You know, it's a lot of, there's the body of Christ that has as a head Jesus Christ, and then there's the body of Antichrist that has anything, anyone else but Jesus. So if you're going to serve Jesus, you have to keep his word and follow what he says. It doesn't matter. And my sheep know my voice, Jesus said.
Amen.
But I find it just amazing that he would not receive you and he did not recognize the voice of the Lord or the Spirit. Is there anyone that he submits to?
Well, you know, when I approached him, you know, God opened the door so that, you know, he would give me an audience. At the time that I met with him, he was doing a radio show. And I went to the Lord sent me to the radio station, and his secretary told him that, you know, I need to speak to him. And he was very cordially walked out, you know, took a break, walked out, and I told him, I said, the Lord sent me here with a word for you, if you can give me a few minutes of your time. And he looked up in the air. He took his focus off of me, looked up in the air and said, thank you, but no thank you, and turned around and walked away. You know, he's had so many, you know, I don't envy him at all. I don't envy anybody in a big ministry like that who, because, you know, there are a lot of kooks that come to him, lot of people who, you know, definitely of the devil,
mm-hmm.
saying that God sent them there with a word, which, you know, in reality, you know, they haven't. So, you know, it's a hard thing that they have to do day in and day out to be sensitive to the Spirit and rule out what's of God and what's not. But, you know, when I was there, you know, I knew I didn't want to be there. I knew that the word God had given me, you know, was anything but a word that I wanted to give him. But I knew that I had to do it, but he rejected it because he had gotten to that point where, you know, he didn't need to hear from anybody else. You know, God could speak to him directly. You know, that was his word that I've heard him speak many times before, that he didn't need a word from some other prophet, that God could speak to him directly. But see, when we get into error, you know, our spiritual hearing becomes dull. And the things that God wants to speak to us, we can't hear him anymore because we've tuned him out. You know, when God gives us instructions and we don't walk in it, then that particular spiritual part of us becomes hard of hearing to the Spirit of God. So it takes a prophet. It takes a donkey. It takes a child. It takes even, I've even seen men, you know, I had to, God had me to live in a homeless situation for several years. And I was staying in a rescue mission. And during that time, I ministered to a lot of the people that come into these places, and one of them was possessed. And the Lord had me to deal with this fellow. But I actually heard that demon-possessed man speak a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't ever think that God can't do it, because God can.
Yeah.
So we have to be spiritually sensitive to whoever might be speaking this word to us. You know, always take it to the Lord, because he's a great and mighty God. He can do whatever he wants, and he can use very unworthy vessels to speak his word.
You know, Bruce, the Bible is full of examples of the Lord sending someone to warn someone in authority or position, whether it's a king, whether it's a priest, whether it's just a person. The Lord's always going to send an ambassador, you know, someone that's representing him. Typically, could be anybody. So we always want to be careful to hear. To the same degree that we give, it'll be given to us. But if we don't listen, even that what we have is taken away, according to Jesus in Mark 4. One more scripture, 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jesus was saying the same thing to the religious system in that day. They were religious. They had a form of religion, but they wouldn't listen. They didn't have the love of God. They didn't have the word of God abiding in them. It's very, very dangerous to not put the words to a test, like you said, when someone comes unto you. Even though there's a lot of quacks out there, very dangerous. So you've said that the corruption now has affected his ministry, his doctrine. He's not really open to correction from anybody around him? I mean, is he totally isolated or what?
Well, he's, you know, the ones who are now in his ministry under him are, it's just demonic. I mean, that's the only way to put it. You know, God gave Jimmy the gift, the talent of music, to draw the people in. You know, that was his calling card, music. God gave him the gift to really pull people in for the worship. And the music now, the number one thing, has gotten to the point where the praise and worship leader, who is now in Family Worship Center, which is their church, is, you know, several times now doing the praise and worship, he's giving hand signs to give honor to the devil, the 666, the devil horns. You know, it's Satan is being manifest in that service, you know, fully blown. I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever about it. Not only has Jimmy written a Bible that is, you know, just totally an abomination to the Word of God, but, you know, his worship music, the thing that God gave him, it goes back to Lucifer. You know, Lucifer was the main one when it came to the praise and worship of God. He was the one that was given the ability to create that music, to give forth the music that would glorify God. And he did the same thing with Jimmy. But Jimmy, because of his refusal to walk in obedience to the Father and let God Almighty be God, the number one thing, the number one gift has now become so corrupted it's just, you know, it's in your face. You can't help but see it. And the praise and the worship, the singers that are on the praise team, all of them, you know, on the website, God has given us pictures of them in bars, you know, hanging out with the secular groups. And once again, they're doing the same thing. They're making all these obscene hand signs, 666, devil horns. So, you know, the music is the number one thing that gave Jimmy his fame has become so corrupted that, you know, everyone that surrounds him in that ministry is in the same fix that he is.
Wow. I was going to ask you, what's going on with the people that are there? Who is there? What's happening with people that go there? What happens to them?
Well, you know, they're... If if you have any spiritual sensitivity at all, you won't stay there long. You'll leave. You know, it's only those who become anesthetized, who become hypnotized by his, you know, it's just, he's learned how to do this. The spirit's not in it, you know, it's his flesh. There was one dear lady who the Lord brought down. He actually had her pack up and move her whole family. I mean, this has happened time and time and time again. But this one dear lady, she had a lot of money. I mean, she was not poor. And she, God had her to pack up, move her family to Baton Rouge. She put two of her kids in the Jimmy Swaggart Academy. And she personally, you know, just really put her life into the ministry, helping them out every way she could. And as time went on, you know, it just hit her square in the face. She started seeing the satanic ways of this ministry. And, you know, she couldn't hold her tongue. But, you know, she thought God had sent her to be a part of it, but God sent her there to be an eyewitness and then to expose it. And expose it she did. She's been on talk radios, and now she's thankfully, the Lord's allowing her to get out of Baton Rouge and move away. But she said what really floored her the most, you know, this television is such a deception. The television and the internet viewing, all of this is such a deception because you're so far away from the reality of what's actually taking place there. She said, you know, when she was living in Baton Rouge, all the people around her, when she would tell them that she was there to be a part of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, you know, these are, you know, people who didn't know Christ, and they would look at her and say, why are you doing that? You know, Jimmy Swaggart is a hypocrite. You know, the whole family is a hypocrite. They live like the devil, but, you know, they preach the glories of God. But, you know, if you live here, you're going to start seeing the reality of who they really are. And sadly but surely, you know, she discovered that. And so, you know, once again, so many people see him through the screen of a TV or a computer or over radio, and they think it's so wonderful. But, you know, if they don't have spiritual discernment, they're not going to know the truth. But the ones who live close to him know the truth. You know, they know who they are. They've seen it. So, you know, the size of the congregation has dwindled, you know. And the ones who are in the congregation, only God knows. I was watching one of the services the other day and doing one of the praise songs that Jimmy was doing. The devil horns were being held up in the audience by one of the congregation members that was doing a camp meeting. So, you know, that's the spirit that's in the ministry.
You know, I'm looking at Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began, speaking of Jesus, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is stage playing. It's playing a part. It's an act. It's a front. It's not reflecting the reality. And what it's so dangerous. This is what Jesus calls the leaven. And it corrupts, it ruins. And God sees the truth. He knows the truth. He's trying every man's heart. The Lord sees, he hears, and he's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with all this leaven. And I pray that people, you know, anyone that's speaking in the name of the Lord, that they would fear the Lord and love the Lord and return into their first love and put away these things that are of uselessness, vanity, and money, and pleasure. And really sanctify the Lord and return to their first love.
Yeah, it was many years ago. Like I say, the Lord put me with Jimmy in 1984. And it was during those early years, it was in probably the late 80s, that the Lord had me to attend one of his crusades. I was in South Carolina at the time. And during that crusade, Jimmy actually told the story about how during one of those crusades, this very shabbily dressed, you know, elderly-looking woman, I mean, she had a hard life. You're just looking at it, you could tell. Came up to the sage after the service and gave him a $20 bill. And he looked at her and he said, you know, you please just keep this, keep your money, please. And she got, you know, very ruffled and angry at him. She says, God told me to give you this money, but you know, this money is not for you though. This money is to get the word out to the lost and the dying souls. This money is not for you. This money is for the ministry work of speaking the gospel to the world. And the Lord reminded me of that a couple years back, you know, as I looked on Jimmy Swaggart's mansion, you know, at the Country Club estate, and, you know, all the finery that they have and, you know, the way they spend money. You know, God's money that was meant to be saving souls is being used for the lust of the flesh.
You know, it reminds me, I've just recently, in recent days, talked about Eli and his sons. You know, they were in a position of authority in Israel, and Eli became fat and blind, and he was not executing judgment over his sons, who were really taking advantage of the people, who were actually sleeping with women, and who were taking the best of the gifts that God, people were giving to God for themselves, so bad that the people despised the offering of the Lord. And that text says that these sons did not know the Lord. And it says that they were sons of Belial, they were priests of Belial, sons of Belial. And God sought to kill him. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ has eyes of fire, and he is the Lord, and his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. This is in Matthew 3, verse 10 through 12. This is what John the Baptist said. And God, you know, the Lord Jesus even gave Jezebel space to repent, and I pray that these people would forsake their riches, forsake their name that they've built up, and sanctify the Lord, and tell about the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, so that all may fear and may all may benefit, but not to persist. I pray they do not persist in this wickedness, because they'll end up like Eli's sons.
Listen, my brother, that is no coincidence that you mention that scripture. It was just a few weeks back that the Lord had me to use that scripture in writing another sermon on Jimmy Swaggart entitled Jimmy Swaggart Ministries and Joseph Larson's Sex Sins. Joseph Larson's Sex Sins and Jimmy Swaggart Ministry. Joseph Larson is a young, very gifted in singing, very talented, who's one of the praise and worship singers. And you know, just like you said, Eli's sons, sleeping with the women of the church, having sex with the women of the church. This young man who's doing praise and worship, supposedly God Almighty, is in that same fix. And, you know, just, it's amazing to hear the stories of how this fornication is rampant. And but yet he gets up on Sunday and Sunday nights and praises God, and the rest of the time he's in bed, you know, whoring around with other women. And the Lord gave me a word of correction to give. And but just like Eli, you know, Jimmy is not paying attention to it. He's not giving correction where correction is due. He's not taking him out of the praise and worship team, but yet this young man continues to sing. And the spirit that's in him, you know, is going out to all the people. He might be singing a godly song, but the spirit that's in him is going to be picked up by those who are listening to his music. And if they're not walking in the right spirit, if they're not being led by God, that spirit of fornication is going to come off on them. They might not see it, but it'll affect them. So once again, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, Eli.
You know, Bruce, what you just said is exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to the church in Corinthians. He said it had been commonly reported that there was fornication among them, but not even just typical, usual fornication, but this man was sleeping with his father's wife. And he said that they were all puffed up. What he was talking about is a little sin, you know, sin is leaven. He was telling them that they were all leavened, puffed up. And he said, put away that wicked man from your midst. You know, call him to repentance. Because that sin, as you said about the sin of Achan, it permeates and affects. Going to church can ruin you. Going to church in a religious system that's not submitted to the head and in the fear of the Lord and abiding in Jesus Christ is very dangerous. We need to be following the Lord, serving the Lord, sanctifying the Lord, because these are evil days and men are departing from the faith. Men are following other gods, pleasures of this world, and they're drawing the line in the sand. There's only so much space and grace. And the Lord warns, He'll throw you in a bed of death and kill your children with death. That's what the Lord said about Jezebel. Go ahead, Bruce.
Amen. And once again, you know, we have to be so sensitive to the Spirit. You know, wherever the Lord sends us, you know, the Lord sent me into that ministry, and it was a trap. It was a potential trap. If I wouldn't continually be seeking the Lord for His direction, you know, that walk that He sent me into, the Jimmy Swaggart ministry, could have potentially killed me. You know, this world is a dangerous place to be.
Yes.
And especially when it comes to ministries. So we just have to constantly be seeking the Lord for direction. You know, every step we take needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, that straight and narrow path will keep us from being snake bit. But, you know, the main thing is that, you know, there's so many ministries out there today that are in the same situation. I mean, the love of money, the love of the fleshly things is totally, you know, taking precedence over the reality and the need to crucify the flesh and die to the ways of our sin nature.
We don't want to just talk about the cross. We don't want to just wear a cross or have a bumper sticker on our car. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's from the heart. And it's only through Jesus Christ and glorying in Him, glorying in the cross, in reality, actuality, crucifying the old man and his sins and his corrupt ways and putting on the new man, which is created after the image of Him that created him. Read Romans 6, we ask our listeners, to glory in Christ. And Bruce, what you went through is not an isolated incident, as you just pointed out. This is rampant. So our listeners, you're going to have to stand up for Jesus Christ and serve Him faithfully. And what He brings to the light, what He brings to darkness, you bring to light. And when He speaks to your ear, you shout it from the rooftop, as Bruce and I are doing today, so that the Lord will be sanctified amongst the people. This is vital.
Amen.
You know, Bruce, I want to read a text from 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. And following, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this is what's happened to many, as Satan tempted Jesus. Satan has tempted many ministries, and they believed his lie. They went after the gold, the girls, and the glory, and they've fallen. But we're in hope that many would be like Samson. And when he realized that he was without the glory of the Lord, he repented and asked that, for one more time, Lord, may I be used by your glory, and recover themselves from the snare of the devil. That's our prayer, Bruce.
Amen. Amen. But, you know, this once again, Jesus, you know, had to take on flesh in order to defeat sin, because sin dwells in the flesh. That's the only place you're going to find sin. And so he had to take on the human body so that he could be tested in all points. You know, all points is everywhere in this physical body that we can choose to do wrong. Adam and Eve were not programmed to pick the fruit that God had obeyed them not to eat, had demanded that they not eat. You know, they had to actually teach their flesh to pick the fruit that God had said, don't eat. So they had to program themselves to sin. But once sin got in, then, you know, it was a terrible thing to get back out, and Jesus had to come and do what nobody else could do. But now that he's walked total in obedience at all points that he could have been turned away from the Father and done his own thing, he was tested, and he without sin, he took on the sin of the world, and on the cross, through his sufferings, he totally annihilated sin through his human body. And now that he's done that for us, we now have the awesome ability to take on the challenge that, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we too can have our bodies renewed in Christ. And that is the only way that we're going to make it through this life and maintain a relationship with Christ, is to be in total obedience to his will. He's the only one that knows where our sin nature dwells. He's the only one that knows how to get out the root of the sin. And it all comes through a walk of obedience.
That's right. You know, we're not debtors to sin to walk after the flesh. We're not debtors. You don't have to walk in darkness. We're called to liberty that's in Jesus Christ. We can walk in the newness of life, that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. This is in Romans 6. And it's just too much that God has given us through the gospel, in the gospel of the cross. And it's not just a few isolated sins of smoking, drinking, and cussing that some people focus on. It's the corrupt old man, you know, that came from below in the image of Adam. And we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh so that God would be glorified. And I believe that's what this is about. There is a difference between true ministry and false ministry. And no lie is of the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, this may be difficult for you to hear today, but this is just another example of many that have fallen from the Lord. But those that turn people from wickedness unto righteousness, according to the prophet Daniel, are going to shine as the stars of heaven forever. So we're calling you, and we're calling ministries out there to turn unto the Lord in sincerity and reflect Jesus Christ in truth. In Jesus' name.
And, you know, when the Lord first gave us our ministry, the motto of the ministry is all for the love of Jesus.
Mm.
All for the love of Jesus. And, you know, I chewed on that for a long time. Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean by all for the love of Jesus? But the bottom line is that, you know, what do we love more than Jesus? You know, are we willing to give up? What are we not willing to give up for Jesus? And, you know, that's the true test. What do we hold on to? What do we wrap our fingers around and we're not willing to let go? We'd rather have it. We'd rather make it our idol instead of truly worshiping Jesus with our lives. You know, what do we love more than Jesus? Are we willing to give it all up for Jesus? And he will test us. You know, once you give your life to Jesus, hold on tight, because he's going to take you through it to make sure that you mean what you say.
Yes. I believe that's so true, Bruce. One of the first things the Lord showed me when I first came to him to walk with him as a disciple is, did I want him? What is it I wanted? Did I want to belong to church? Or did I want to just get along with the crowd? Or did I want to really walk with Jesus? Because the Lord said, don't follow people. Jesus is your example. So we need to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and run this race with endurance. We need to lay aside the sins and the weights that so easily beset us. We can do that through Jesus Christ. There's a whole great cloud of witnesses, Bruce, that have made it in the eternal kingdom of the Lord, that they have made the victory through faith.
Amen. In fact, you know, most oftentimes, you know, we don't really realize that God's talking to us unless we just question it. But when I was 9 years old, Hebrews 11:1-2 were the first scriptures that he gave me.
Mm.
The first scriptures he gave me, and you know, as life went on, I realized that, you know, that was his word for me, and I better hang on to it, because by faith was the only way I was going to make it. It's the only way any of us is going to make us. You know, faith in his word. His word is what created the universe. His word is what keeps everything going the way it's going. And it's his word that's going to give us life. What does he have for us? What is his instructions for us? What is his direction for us? You know, his word is what's going to make us who he has planned us to be if we'll just trust and obey him.
Praise the Lord. So Bruce, in terms of your ministry, and your website again was fmh-child.org, and you have a lot of articles and videos and audios there. And what else are you doing right now? You're continuing to exhort, warn, and prepare the body of Christ?
Yes. particular, you know, those who have the calling of prophet. You know, if the prophetic walk is a hard walk, it's not the one to that speaks words to itching ears. It's the words of God that speak correction to those who have turned off the voice of God, and God will send a man to speak verbally in the ears of that that reprobate who has continued to disobey God. That's the calling of the prophet. And it's a hard walk, and you know, we're here to help those who have the calling, to help them walk in it. And you know, I'm this is my job, this is my ministry, this is God sends them to us. And but you know, the calling is great, but there are very few who are willing to walk in it. So you know, anybody who truly feels that God's called them to walk in the prophetic, we're here to help them.
Amen. You know, Bruce, in just bringing this to a conclusion today, I just want to say that we all need to fear the Lord, and we all need to take heed. You know, if any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And we can daily, moment by moment, you know, live a crucified life, seeking to serve the Lord, and He will keep us. He will make us so we never fall. There's 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to read that promise, it's right there in the Scriptures. But we're just praying that, you know, there's many are called and few are chosen. There's just too few people that serve the Lord. And it's a loss. It's a loss to every one of us when a ministry goes astray and refuses to repent. So we're not trying to be mean-spirited, but we're trying to sanctify the Lord and call people to fear Him and walk with Him in sincerity in these last days. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, let me end it with this one more thing.
Yes, please.
You know, when God was, you know, at a time when He was really severely testing me, you know, I said I had given my life to Jesus, but He was really, you know, prove it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And He was giving me instructions that were just totally overwhelming me. And I complained to Him. And, you know, I had just gotten back off of a long journey, gotten one night's sleep, had no money. I was spending money I didn't have to do what God was telling me to do. And I complained to Him, and I said, you know, if I do what You're telling me to do, I'm going to lose my mind. And the Lord told me, He said, go look in the mirror. And I said, what do You mean? He said, go look in the mirror and see if you're sweating blood.
Huh.
And then He sent me to Hebrews chapter 12. For consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not resisted sin unto blood, striving against sin. You have not resisted sin. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So, you know, the severe anxiety, severe, you know, going against what the flesh wants to do, you know, will cause, as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sweat ducts, the capillaries underneath the sweat ducts to rupture. The salt is a restraining force in the human body. The salt is what we use to stop the body from doing what it wants to do. And so when the last bit of salt is needed to restrain the temptation of the devil, when he's trying to get you to go against the will of the Father, that last place, that last reservoir of salt is in the sweat ducts. And when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was that final testing period, would he actually go to the cross or would he walk away from it? You know, he sweated great drops of blood. You know, God won't put us, He won't put us to a test. He won't take us to a place that we can't, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, make it. So, you know, just be encouraged. God's with us. He's going to test you. But just think of the consequences if you don't pass the test.
That's right. That's awesome, Bruce. Thank you very much.